Welcome to another Marvel podcast. My name is Drew Gretch, and today we are continuing our look back at the non-MCU Spider-Man movies. This week is Spider-Man 3, but we've also got a lot of news to talk about and Eternals reviews. So, you know, let's start with Eternals stuff, just because, you know, this movie's coming out this week. I'm super excited for it. You guys know, we'll be covering it the same way we've done Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Venom 2. I'm seeing the movie on Thursday night. IMAX screen I'm going to is absolutely packed. I cannot wait for it. So instant reaction, my before and after is going to come out on Thursday night. And then on Sunday is going to be the full review, full spoiler review. So yeah. We will not be reviewing Amazing Spider-Man next week. That's going to be 2 weeks from now, November 12th, which, you know, November 12th is also the Disney Plus day, so we'll be getting a lot of announcements, probably trailers for Ms. Marvel, She-Hulk, Moon Knight. Yeah. But let's talk about some of these Eternals reviews. So the critics' consensus on Rotten Tomatoes. And I'm going to say this first. People look at Rotten Tomatoes as saying this is how much of the movie is good. The MCU, looking at stuff from Marvel Studios, so the 25, now 26 films with the Eternals, and the 4 Disney Plus shows, are almost all certified fresh, somewhere between, you know, the mid-80s to, you know, I think Black Widow, like, or not Black Widow, Black Panther, like 96%. Which is why it's so surprising that Eternals is 1% away from being rotten. Now, how Rotten Tomatoes works, I'm going to give you guys an example on this. Let's say every single critic gave Eternals a 7 out of 10. Solid, you know, so a 7 out of 10 is a good review. Rotten Tomatoes will have the score 100%. It's not the collected score of the movie that the critics are giving. It's what percentage is positive. What percentage is positive? So looking at Eternals, 60% are giving positive reviews, 60% of critics. Now, if we look at the actual rating, it's still 6 out of 10. So this is one of the rare cases where the tomato meter actually does line up with the average rating. But you can just tap on the, I'm on an iPad right now, you can just tap on the tomato, the 60%, and then you can see the average rating. So let's just look right now at Avengers Endgame. So we'll look at Avengers Endgame and we can see the difference there. So Avengers Endgame, certified fresh, 94% with 547 reviews. What's the average rating? The average rating is an 8.2. So that would be like an 82% then. That's still great. So you can just see that Rotten Tomatoes is not always accurate, and everyone should just form their own opinions. You guys know, Eternals has always been my most anticipated movie. Seeing the critical response to the film, I'm getting more excited. Because I'm seeing a movie, the critics are just saying exactly what I want this movie to feel like. Okay? It's exactly what I want this movie to be. So the critics' consensus reads, an ambitious superhero epic that soars slightly more often than strains, Eternals takes the MCU in intriguing and occasionally confounding new directions. I'm getting the sense, and if I'm being honest, I am surprised that the critic score is this low. because this is much more of a, you know, quote-unquote real cinema movie. So I was expecting the critical score to be in the 90s or the high 80s, and then the audience score. I've heard, you know, like, the audience score from people who have seen Eternals, it could go either way. It could go either way. It could be, like, high 40s, which is rotten, or it could be high 80s. And I'm seeing this movie with my sister on Thursday night, and I'm really interested to, like, see if she even likes the movie. Because it is so incredibly different from anything that Marvel has ever done before. This is going to be the most divisive movie in the entire MCU. This is going to be the most divisive movie. And I'm excited to see it. I'm going to what I'm thinking, and I think I made this comparison before in the podcast, it seems like it's going to be a lot like The Last Jedi. The Last Jedi is a movie. The Last Jedi, if you look at The Last Jedi as a film, look at The Last Jedi as a film, as a non-Star Wars film. If this is a movie, it's a great movie. The Last Jedi is a great film. Does the Star Wars fan in me have problems with it? Absolutely, I have problems with The Last Jedi. But The Last Jedi is a great film. And I think that's what Eternals could be. I think Eternals, I've not seen the movie. I can't speak for the critics or anything. But I'm going in to make my own expectations. I'm truly going in I have tempered expectations now. Like, my expectations are not as big as they were. I'm mostly just excited to see how my audience responds. I mean, it's a Thursday night screening. It's opening night. It's IMAX. It's going to be mostly huge Marvel fans. So I'm super, super excited for all that. So excited to see this movie. Thursday, seeing it in 4 days. I cannot wait. Cannot wait to see Marvel's Eternals. Let's talk about another thing. Bill Murray is joining the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Bill Murray is gonna be in the MCU. And it's gonna be Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. This was a couple weeks ago. I don't know why we didn't talk about it, but he says, oh wait, hang on. No, that's the wrong article. But yeah, so he said, recently I made a Marvel movie. I probably won't tell you, but never mind. In any case, some people were quite surprised why I decided on such a project. But for me, the thing was quite clear. I got to know the director and really liked him very much. He was funny, humble, everything you want from a director. And people thought this was Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania because later on in the article, he said that he thought that Peyton Reed's 2000 cheerleader comedy, Bring It On, was damn good. So I agreed, although I'm not interested in these huge comic adaptations as an actor otherwise. So that pretty much confirms it's Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. And then he was on Jimmy Kimmel Live this past week where he said, and I'm quoting him here, "Well, I'm not supposed to say. They're making a movie. Paul Rudd plays Ant-Man and Evangeline Lilly plays the Wasp and Michael Douglas and Michelle Pfeiffer, they're all in the movie. But I'm not at liberty to talk about it." Bill Murray just doesn't care. Bill Murray just doesn't care. It's like, I'm Bill Murray. You Marvel police, you can't get me. You can't get me. It's basically the same thing that Alfred Molina was like back in April. And he was like, yeah, I'm in No Way Home. And I'm playing the same version of Doc Ock. So that's super, super exciting. Bill Murray's going to be in the MCU. I do think it's only just this one movie. You know, he's making it very clear, like, yeah, I mean, I was interested in doing a Marvel movie, and it was mostly because of, you know, he said that he didn't really have all that much interest in being in a comic book movie. And then he's like, oh, it's Peyton Reed? Yeah, I'll do it if it's Peyton Reed. Yeah, so that makes me super excited for Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania, July 28th, 2023. So, yeah. The No Way Home trailer we're hearing is probably not going to come out until after November 13th, which is my birthday. I'm super excited. Well, I'm more excited for just Disney Plus Day and all the Marvel and Star Wars announcements. You know, we're definitely getting that Boba Fett trailer. Hopefully something for Moon Knight, which Moon Knight's the only other thing that I'm super, super excited for. It's Moon Knight and Loki Season 2. I'm going to watch the other stuff. You guys know I'm going to stay up until 2 a.m. for the other stuff. I love Marvel. It's just things that are really interesting to me. It's really just Moon Knight and Loki Season 2, other than Eternals. Because No Way Home, for me, I'm kind of scared. I'll talk more about why when we review Spider-Man 3 later in the show. But it's... this is a movie that's gonna feel very overstuffed. I think there is way too much happening in No Way Home for it to be a great movie. And if Toby and Andrew, if Toby and Andrew are in the movie, it's gonna feel too overstuffed. If they're not in the movie, then the fans are gonna be like, you lied to us. I mean, the same thing from WandaVision. Same thing from WandaVision. You lie to us. Which I think Feige knows that if they're not in the movie. I'm still 50-50 on if they're in it or not. I really don't know. If they're in it, Feige's like, temper your expectations, guys. You may not see them, wink, wink. But if they're not in the movie, he's like, I told you. I told you they're not in it. Which, you know, he did say, I mean, we know this is multiverse now, but they're not talking about bringing in the other heroes. They're just talking about bringing in the villains. But anyway, No Way Home trailer number 2 is probably not going to come out before Eternals. We're hearing there's going to be a Morbius trailer this week, because that movie's come out in January. Yeah, and Venom's going to be referenced in it. I thought that the first Morbius trailer was really good. I really liked that first trailer. I think I talked about this. No, I tweeted this a couple weeks ago when I saw Venom, Let There Be Carnage, for my second viewing. We got the Morbius teaser, and it confirmed that PG-13 rating, which I didn't think there was any doubt about it, but it's like, all right, great. It's PG-13. And I think, did they move it up? Did they move it up a week to January 21st? I think they might have. So that'd be great. We just get one week sooner. 1 week sooner. So yeah, Morbius trailer this week, hopefully, probably. They're going to want to put that, they're going to want to attach that to Eternals. So there was the Empire magazine special edition for Spider-Man No Way Home. Came out, and in it does confirm the return of, I'm trying to find the exact quote here. Let's see if you can find the exact quote. All right, let's look for it. I'm just trying to find it right now. Okay, here we go. In essence, Doctor Strange's spell seems to open doors connecting Peter's reality to many other realities, including the worlds of Sam Raimi's movies that predate the MCU. The worlds created by director Sam Raimi and Mark Webb. Worlds in which Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin is still tearing around on his flying sled. Worlds which include Rhys Ifans' The Lizard, Thomas Hayden Church's Sandman, and Jamie Foxx's Electro. So that confirms the villain. So that's, who do we know? We saw Melina in the trailer. This fully confirms, so there was Doc Ock. This confirms Green Goblin. This confirms the Lizard. This confirms Sandman and Electro. That's five. Who's the sixth? I would say Venom. I think there are a lot of different people who could be the sixth member of the Sinister Six. But we also heard this week that there are only going to be five in this movie. There's not going to... There won't be that sixth villain. I think it's possible there might be at the end. Like, all these villains might be sent back to one universe. It's like, let's cause some trouble. And then we see the Vulture. I don't think it's going to be the Rhino. I don't think it's Rhino, because Rhino, from what I remember, Rhino was not in Amazing Spider-Man 2 that much. I don't think it's him. I don't think he's in the movie. If it's in this movie and we're just hearing lies in it, there are six. I'm going to go with... there are three. There are three it could be. And not in any order. It could be the Vulture, which I think is very likely, considering the Morbius trailer. It could be Mysterio, because I don't know if he's dead or not. We really don't know if Mysterio is dead. Or it could be Venom. I think it could also be Venom, because we know that Venom is in this movie. But Venom, from what we've seen in his two movies, in Venom and Let There Be Carnage, he's much more of an anti-hero. You know, spoilers for Venom, Let There Be Carnage. Sorry, I should have said that. Just because I know there are people who haven't seen the movie yet. Full spoilers for Venom, Let There Be Carnage now. And in the movie, he joins the MCU, or he comes in the MCU. And, you know, at the end of Let There Be Carnage, he's like, we are the Lethal Protector. So I don't necessarily know if Eddie Brock is, you know, if Eddie Brock's going to be a villain. I don't think he is. And that sort of sets it up for, you know, movies like Morbius and Kraven the Hunter. Are they going to be villains? Because you could have them start off as villains and then become heroes, but... And, you know, in Venom in the comics does go back and forth. Venom in the comics is very much an anti-hero. I don't know if Morbius or Kraven ever are. And I think you can have Venom stand on his own. I think you can have Venom stand on his own, but I just don't really see the Sony Pictures universe of Marvel characters. Or what was it? Is it Sony Spider-Man universe? Sony Pictures Spider-Man universe, I think, is the official name now. I don't think you can... I mean, if when it was still Sony Pictures Universe Marvel Characters, it was different. That doesn't need Spider-Man. But if you're calling it Sony Spider-Man Universe, you gotta have Spider-Man. Gotta have Spider-Man. And that could be Tom Holland. That could be Tobey Maguire. That could be Andrew Garfield. That could be Miles Morales. I don't think Miles is coming in just yet. I think... In No Way Home, Peter's going back to the Venom universe. That's where he's going. We're going to get a Spider-Man college trilogy. Maybe an adult life trilogy, you know. And then maybe in Spider-Man 6, or at the beginning of Spider-Man 7, he's going to die. And then we get Miles Morales. Or maybe we see Miles Morales in the MCU. And that is then further set up for the Young Avengers. It could go either way, and I can't wait. I can't wait. So, looking at the article here, it does... and I'm just going to read this. If there is a sixth bad guy waiting in the wings, there is no shortage of candidates, from Michael Keaton's Vulture to Paul Giamatti's Rhino. This, you know, we saw the Scorpion in Homecoming. We saw the Scorpion. There are a lot of people it could be. A lot of choices, And I'm excited. I'm so excited. I'm going to go with Venom. If there is another villain, I'm going to say it's Venom. So that's just my theory. We also know that, this is unrelated, the Marvel Studios Legends episode for Hawkeye will be released on November 12th on Disney Plus Day. So the Hawkeye recap is coming November 12th. Is that really all the... So reshoots are going on for Love and Thunder. It's great. July 8th. Can't wait for that movie. Venom could be referenced in the new Morbius trailer. I believe it's all the news. Let's see. Yeah, that is it. That is it. So, I'm in review now. Spider-Man 3. Let's review Spider-Man 3. Actually, no, let's just take one last check on the Eternals Rotten Tomatoes. Let's see if it's changed at all. It's gone up one more good review. One more good review. Still sitting, or is it a good review? It's still sitting at a 60%. It's a bad review. It's from Christian Toto in HollywoodandToto.com. Don't blame the progressive nods for the film's failures. The limp plot does the damage, given a score of a 2.4. And that's the other thing. On IMDb, people have been review bombing this movie because of the inclusion of LGBTQ characters. As we know, this is the first Marvel movie with a prominent gay character. There was Loki's bisexual, but this is the first one with a gay character. And what I've heard is that it doesn't feel forced. And I love that. I love that it just feels like a part of the story. And I feel like that's how diversity should feel. You know? I think... You know, I don't think that Fastos' abilities are going to come from the fact that he's gay. I don't think that's what they're going to be doing at all. And I'm really happy about that. I'm really happy that the characters are going to feel like actual characters. If that makes sense at all. And it sounds to me like, look, diversity points. I'm glad. I don't think the movie's going to feel like that. I'm really happy about that. So, yeah. Eternals, Thursday night. Cannot wait. Let's talk about Spider-Man 3. Now, you guys know, I've been pretty harsh on the Sony movies. I've been pretty harsh on them, like, yeah, they're fine. They're not great or anything. But rewatching them, I really loved the first two, particularly Spider-Man 2. I loved Spider-Man 2. Spider-Man 3 is exactly what I'm afraid of No Way Home being. An overstuffed mess that has too much studio control to be anything more than a disappointment. That's what I'm scared of No Way Home being, and that's what Spider-Man 3 is. Is a disappointment. I don't have the reverence or... I have the respect for all film. I have respect for all film. I have respect for film as an art form, and I give each film a chance. So, I don't have... Like, you guys can go and look at the Star Wars reviews I'm doing right now on Tusken Radio. Star Wars is like... Star Wars is always my number one. If there comes a time when there's like a live-action Marvel episode and live-action Star Wars episode on Disney Plus on the same day, I'm doing Star Wars first. I'm doing Star Wars first. Star Wars is my number one, and Marvel's a close second. But it's hard to review, though, the original Star Wars movies for me. I love them so much. The original six films, because I grew up with the prequels. I grew up with the prequels and Clone Wars. So, and I know that there are people like that with these movies, and I think it's good because a lot of reviewers now were kids when these came out. They have the reverence for it. That's the reverence that I have with the first Andrew Garfield movie. One of the first comic book movies I ever saw. So I really love the first Amazing Spider-Man. I haven't seen it in like 5.5 years. We'll see if it holds up in 2 weeks. We'll see what happens then, but you know. So I understand that a lot of people love Spider-Man 3 because they grew up with it. It's nostalgic. That for me is, you know, the Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones. But this is just a disappointing movie. That's overstuffed. I think that, you know, this movie's core problem, I think, is, you know, the studio oversight, but in the plot, is Peter Parker. This movie does not understand who Peter Parker is. Sam Raimi understands who Peter Parker is. He's made two great Peter Parker movies. And there is a line in here that I really like. When Peter makes the, or Spider-Man, makes the stupid mistake of kissing Gwen Stacy. And the line that MJ has is, when you kissed her, was that Peter or was that Spider-Man? And I think this movie, just like Spider-Man 2, this movie continues to show the duality between them and how important that is for the characters. And another big problem I have here is that this is a movie that tries to have both ways. This movie tries to take a lot of risks, and then it's like it keeps playing it safe because they know what works from the first two. People maybe saw Spider-Man 2 for some of the relationship drama, because I feel like Spider-Man 2 did it really, really well. Spider-Man 2 did that drama really well, but we didn't need a third movie of it. We didn't need a third movie of that, because we just saw it in the first two. It wasn't something that was necessary. It's very obvious, you know, that Sam Raimi didn't want to have Venom in this movie. And the Venom voice, oh my god. The Venom voice is atrocious. It is awful. I think that, you know, when Tom Hardy is done with playing Venom, I really think it might be some of the same things we say about Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man, or Hugh Jackman as Wolverine, Ryan Reynolds Deadpool, Charlie Cox Daredevil. No, that is that character. Like, we're going to be able to look back and say that Tom Hardy is Venom. There's no one else that can play Venom. Just retire the character. Retire the character. And another thing is, this movie should have been, the main villain should have been Green Goblin. The first two have been setting that up. The main villain should have been Harry Osborn. They shouldn't have had him team up with Peter. I really like that moment. Really like that moment, because like, we're sort of seeing the seeds of what the Avengers could be. We're seeing the seeds of that. Because this movie was a year before Iron Man, a year before the start of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And, you know, you can just tell. Another thing, at the beginning of this movie, the opening credits were like, in association with Marvel Studios. Marvel Studios was its own thing at this point. So that makes me excited. That alone made me happy to see. Because I don't think that was there in the first two. I don't think that was there in the first two movies. So, yeah, there's a lot in this movie that doesn't work. A lot of it's memeable. A lot of it is very, very memeable. With just having all of the dancing stuff and the symbiote enhancements. That's going to be stuck in my head for next week now. Yeah, there's a lot in here that doesn't work. And I'm trying to think of the few things that do. There's not many. There are not many things in this movie that work. And I did realize what the what if would be. Or I was just thinking, like, what could it be? Like, if this were an episode of What If, or like three episodes of What If, what would the first one be? Well, what would this universe be called? I think it would be like, what if Peter Parker were the only Avenger? You know? It'd be that. And then I'm thinking that the Amazing Spider-Man could be, what if Peter Parker loved Gwen Stacy? You know, I think that really could be the main two there. So, yeah, I don't really think I have that much else to say about this movie. It's not a total disaster, it's just so incredibly disappointing. It is so just disappointing to see because of how great the first two were. And I went into this like, maybe it sounds bad as I remember it. I love these first two a lot more. The first two a lot more. Maybe I like this one. If anything, it made it worse. They made this movie worse because of how great you know the first two movies are. But yeah, so that's gonna be it for Spider-Man 3. What do you guys think of Spider-Man 3? What do you guys think? Let me know on Twitter at @AnotherMarvelP1. We're going to be ending our Twitter, you know, leave of absence on Thursday once I see Eternals, which I've actually made a couple tweets, but very few. Yeah, we got a lot coming up this week. Next podcast is going to be Thursday. For sure, there will be a podcast on Thursday. If I got time, I'll get that Morbius episode done. And yeah, we're going to be doing trailers, I think, for all the Disney Plus Day stuff. We're doing breakdowns. And also, if the, because I think we know it's just going to be, like, something that's uploaded at 2 a.m., the Marvel event. If the event is more than 20 minutes, if the event is 20 minutes or longer, I will be doing a... So I'm going to be doing the, like, a live reaction to it. Well, maybe not live, but we're going to be doing, like, a live... yeah, it'll be a live thing. I'll be like, here, guys, we're going to be doing this. You can live react to it. Because I'm going to be staying the whole day off the internet if it's more than 20 minutes. If it's less than 20 minutes, I'm just going to watch it. And we'll talk about it on the podcast that night. So, yeah, there's that. And then we'll be doing breakdowns, individual breakdowns for all the trailers. So, yeah. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Drew Gretsch. See ya, chumps. Oh, wait. Last thing. Send in pictures of your Halloween costumes if you're being Marvel characters. Go through the best ones when we talk about Amazing Spider-Man. Because I got a Loki variant jacket, and I think it looks great. So, yeah. Have a great Halloween, everybody. See ya, chumps.